Thank you, Steve. Good morning, everybody. Good morning in the far corner. It's Nathan. God's given me a supernatural recollection of names this weekend, so maybe I can remember. So good to be here, and so lovely, isn't it, when God speaks through the prophetic. I sometimes wonder, do you ever wonder why the God who created heaven and earth and to whom all things are subject would bother speaking through us? And do you know the answer to that is because he wants to. He had a plan from the very beginning of creation to fulfill through his Son a reconciliation of us to him so that we could partner with him. We could be his partners in building the kingdom of God on earth. So when it's prophetic like it was this morning, it's so exciting because that's the Lord of heaven and earth saying, I love you and I want to speak through you and I want to build through you. So this morning, I'm already super encouraged because a good chunk of my message has been stolen by the prophetic, which is always a good sign. But also, I'm going to ask us to maybe come with me here. So we're going to speak about the gifts of the Spirit, and I know you're in a series of life in the Spirit. But I'm going to ask you now, what does it look like for you to take another step towards God? What does it look like for you personally to take a step towards opening those sluice gates and letting some of the potential of the Holy Spirit come into your life? What's the challenge that he's laid on your heart during the worship? Where might he be leading you into his wonderful gifts? Should we just pray together? Father, I thank you for this morning. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for the way that you've chosen to dwell in us and with us through your Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you've spoken to us. And we pray now that you would help unlock the truth of your word with regard to the gifts of your Spirit. And we pray that you would help us take steps closer towards you. Lord, we know that we have all of you, but you don't always have all of us. And so this morning we pray that you might get more of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I had better just briefly introduce myself. For those that don't know, Steve says my name is Chris. I'm one of the elders at Living Hope. I've just recently given up my job and become full-time in the church, which is a really exciting time for us at my stage of life, 27. And we're so excited to be part of what God's doing, and we feel very connected with you here in Horsham. We hear so much about you. You actually had my daughter here when Ewan was here, Leah. She's generally known as the church berserker because she's always berserking in worship. But she's a great blessing to us, and we've got her living just around the corner. This is my wife, Carol, here. I won't get her to stand up because she doesn't like that. But she's my right hand. She's my strength. I love her much. Anyway, how did that happen? Just nowhere that came from. Just a quick prophetic word before I start. I love the fact that, I think it was Brian shared with me about Joshua, that when the people of Israel moved into the promised land, the first thing God said was, he said, right, I want the leaders to carry my presence into the river. And then when they do that, then the river will open up and the people will be able to follow. But actually that meant some people had to get their feet wet and carry the presence of God into the river. And I really feel, having spent a great day yesterday with your home group leaders and those that are thinking of aspiring to that, that you have leaders here that are willing to get their feet wet. And I think Dan and Sarah did a great job this morning. God's just saying to you, you're going to be people that are going to have to get your feet wet in order to lead others through into the promised land. So don't be afraid. Take that new guitar and get it wet in the river. Anyway, I'm right off track. So maybe we could have the first slide. This is my family getting ready for church on a Sunday morning. We had a great time evangelizing over Christmas, and we had this thing called Get in the Picture, and we invited people to come and dress up and have a free picture to put on their Christmas cards, etc. And this is my family with my extended family. So there's me and Carol. There's my daughter Leah, who's playing Mary there, and my other daughter in the top left-hand corner over here, who's the angelic Megan. And then there's two others there. That's Joe, who works for the church, who's living with us for a year. And that's Katie, who just always seems to be in our house for some reason. and that's Dave, who's Leah's husband. So that gives you a little image of who we are. And we like to have fun and mess about and just enjoy God's presence. So that's us. So good to be with you. By the way, I need to send regards and love from Ewan and Karen. They send big hugs. They're constantly praying for you and looking out for you, and they send their love, and they so enjoyed. We were so blessed when our guys came back from you. They sowed so much into us, almost unexpectedly, really. And we've grown incredibly in worship because they served here, and they brought back what they caught and infected us. So that's good. Well, I've been asked to speak in your series about the gifts, and particularly the gifts of healing and miraculous powers. Well, this is based on a letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, and verses 9 and 10 and 11, we're going to actually have a quick look at. And this is when Paul was bringing a correction to the church in Corinth. He was actually correcting an abuse of what had got God had brought in the Holy Spirit. But the interesting thing is, when you have an abuse, like Paul was correcting here, sometimes when you correct it, that can lead to disuse. And it can mean that we stop seeking the gifts of the Spirit because they're being abused. And sometimes in the church, we've seen these things abused. But our response and our reaction should not be to stop using them. In fact, it should be to use them correctly. So what Paul was writing here, he was saying, you're abusing it, but I don't want you to stop. I don't want you to neglect. I want you to use them correctly. And that's what we're speaking into here. So Paul writes, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and to another, a message of knowledge, as you looked at last week, by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. So, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. And sometimes you see this translated as miracles, but it's more accurately translated as miraculous powers, which I'll come on to why that's important later. I heard a story of an Italian man. I hope you haven't heard this story before. So wave at me if you have, Steve. An Italian man who wanted to go to America, and he didn't have much money, so he put all of his money on getting this ticket, and he decided to sell everything he had to emigrate. And this was during the turn of the 20th century. He barely had enough money to buy a ticket onto the ship. And because he didn't have much money left, he went and bought some cheese and crackers to eat during the journey to America. So for every day on this journey, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, he ate cheese and crackers. Can you imagine? While he was eating this, everybody else on the whole ship was in the dining hall, and he could smell lobster, filet mignon, cabernet sauvignon, yon. All sorts of lovely, delicious food. And there he was eating his cheese and crackers. Well, by the end of the journey, the sixth day, he was getting sick and tired of eating these cheese and crackers. And so he went to the ship's captain and he got down on his knees and he said, I'll do anything you want. I'll do the dishes. I'll clean the bathroom. I'll sweep the floor. Anything. Just let me have one meal. Just one meal in your dining room. And so the captain looked at him And he looked a bit perplexed. And he said to him, "But sir, the meals are included with your ticket." All that time, he'd been surviving on cheese and crackers when he could have been enjoying the special dining. And sometimes that's how we exist with the Holy Spirit, isn't it? We live on a diet of cheese and crackers when God is pouring out that dam, that whole flood of endless power, and we decide to just live and exist on cheese and crackers. So this morning, let's open our hearts and decide we're no longer going to live on cheese and crackers, but actually we're going to enjoy the feast. Did someone say feast this morning? The feast that God is putting us before us. We're so unaware of the potential for us in the Holy Spirit. Because what did Jesus describe the Holy Spirit at in Acts 1 when he said to the disciples? He said, "But you will receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Jesus even said in John 16, "It's better that I go back to the Father so that I can send you the Holy Spirit." That tells us it's something pretty good, doesn't it? Even better than having Jesus physically with them was that the Father would send the Holy Spirit. Wow. And that's the power that Jesus wants you and I to have in our lives. And what might that look like for healings and the miraculous? Well, can we have that next picture up? You know, recently, we had a young girl in our congregation who suffered from egg allergies. Her egg allergies were so bad that she was in our home group, that when we had home group lunch, we couldn't have anything with egg there, because if it even touched her lips, her face just ballooned up and, you know, had a, is it called an anaphylactic shock or something like that? But anyway, she had a reaction to an allergy. Well, only a couple of weeks ago, after prayer and persistent prayer, her mother took her to the doctor and he said, "There's no egg allergy." And she's been eating eggs ever since. Now, is that miraculous? This is a guy called Ian Rayner. Ian has been a drug addict in his time. He's actually written a book about his life. When he was 4, his mother walked out on them. And he never saw her, or he didn't see her again, for she was probably 8 in her 80s. And he'd never forgiven her. And then one day, he felt God convict him to say, "Now's the time." And he went and got Ewan, who was his pastor, and he said, "I want to go and meet my mother." And he went and met his mother, and he said, "I forgive you." And they were reconciled. Powerful moment. But then, this is Ian actually speaking, sharing his testimony on the beach. And as he gave the salvation call, said, "Does anyone here want to give their life to Jesus?" Someone at the back put their hand up. And Ewan said he was praying there. He's saying, "Please let that be Irene. Please let that be Irene." And sure enough, it was his mother who gave her life to Christ because she was so overwhelmed by the power of forgiveness in the gospel. And now she's just recently passed away. But Ian is now confident because he knows where she is. That's miraculous power. That's only God could do that. That's what we're talking about here when we're talking about the miraculous and healing. And this is who is living and working in you and I. Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 9, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh." So you and I, when we come to Christ, our realm, the place where we live, has changed. We no longer live in the realm of the flesh, the world, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. You see that difference? We've jumped from a realm where the miraculous is not possible because we're in the flesh, to a realm over here where we live in the Spirit, where we come under the miraculous powers of God. And Peter and John knew this. Imagine this. Is this your Sunday? Imagine if this was your Sunday morning experience. Peter and John were on their way to the temple. to worship and pray. So imagine this is you and I on our way to CLC here in the school. And they pass by a beggar who's been at this gate, the gate called Beautiful, and he's been there for many years. In fact, Jesus probably walked past him. And he's been begging all this time. And he goes to Peter and John as they're on their way. He says, can you give me some money, please? Same thing he's done every week and every day for probably 30 years. And Peter and John don't push past him. They stop. And Peter turns to him. And in verse 6 in Acts 3, he says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Wow. So Peter and John, they knew the power they had in them. Reached out in the name of Jesus, lifted him up, and then he came to church with them. Wouldn't that be good on a Sunday morning if every week we turned up with someone that we just healed in the name of Jesus? How powerful is that? But is it a bit of a surprise to you to know that that's the same Holy Spirit that's in you and I? Wait a minute. That's the same Holy Spirit that's in you and me that was able to perform that miracle. And how often do we underestimate what God will do in our lives? Same power Paul talks about us as just simple earthen vessels, like Peter and John, that are vessels for the Holy Spirit. Can you receive that this morning? Receive that you are a vessel for that level of power. Not a dribble, but a force that can heal the sick. So I'm going to quickly go through how you and I can see more of this happen in our lives. Do you want some of that? Hands up if you want some more of that. Good, at least 20 of you, that's great. So the healing and miraculous, the first thing that we need to recognize if we want more of this in our lives is we need to desire them. And also, we need to know that God desires them for us. When Carol and I, with our two girls, Leah and Megan, when they were younger, they wanted to eat sweets every day. Anyone else's children want to eat sweets every day? Oh, yes. So we, being good parents, introduced this thing called the sweetie tin. And the sweetie tin sat up on the shelf full of sweets, loaded with sweets. All sorts of things, chocolate, sweeties, everything. But there was one condition. It had to be sweetie day. And sweetie day was Wednesday and Saturday. Now Leah, no matter how many times she tried to convince us that Thursday was Wednesday, she did not get her sweets unless it was Wednesday or Saturday. Now, thanks to Carol, I said she was wonderful. That's good parenting right there. That's good parenting because our children were learning about restraint and, you know, the good things in moderation. By the way, she got married now and she doesn't have a sweetie tin. She eats chocolate whenever she wants. But you know what? God doesn't have a sweetie tin. God is not like that. He's not restricting the days on which we can enjoy his power. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, Paul writes, he distributes them. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit distributes the gifts to each one just as he determines. Well, sometimes I think we have in our mind that just as he determines means he's a bit tight. And he'll do it every now and again when he feels like it. Do we? You know, sometimes we have such a wrong image of this passage about the gifts being given that we think it's only for special people. Well, actually, the meaning underneath this just as he determines, if you look at it, is showered liberally, not stingy, but freely and uncontrollably, is what the Matthew Henry commentary says. So the image, the picture that Paul was painting in this passage was not the Holy Spirit dropping a gift in once every 6 months. It was him pouring them out, showering them out, throwing them out. Because if we desire them, then he desires to give them to us. And I wish the church would grow in expectation of what God wants to do through his Holy Spirit. He's a generous, freely abandoned God. If the same God who gave his only son to die for us was willing to do that, do you think he might be willing to reap the fruits of that by pouring his Spirit out on us? This is the Father who delights to give good gifts. Luke 11:13, you know that famous passage that Jesus talks about. If we who are fathers know how to give good gifts to our children, then how much more will the Father pour out his Holy Spirit? No sweetie tins in the kingdom of God, folks. Just a generous God. God is keen to release the gifts. Why does he want to heal? Why would he want to do miracle things? Why would he want to heal in our lives? Well, sometimes, like with Peter and John, it's a sign. It's a sign that means the gospel is here. The gospel is good news. What happened after Peter and John were healed that beggar was, if you read later on, the church swelled by 3,000 people. It was a validation. It was a sign that the message was true, that Jesus was alive and that God was pouring out his Spirit. It was good news. When Nicodemus went to see Jesus, he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." It's a sign that God is with his church when he performs miracles, when healings come. Now, we had a lady in our church. I'm going to tell you quite a few stories about our church, but I want you to know it's not because we're a special church. It's because that's where I am. It's no different in any other church. These are the people that I know. We had a lady who had an eating disorder. So bad was her eating disorder that she was actually kept in hospital. They wouldn't allow her out because she was too much of a risk. Her life group, her home group, they loved on her. She came to Christ, prayed for her, blessed her. She came out today. She is doing well. She's put weight on, and she's part of our church, and she's a massive blessing to us. Miraculously, God has done something that in her life, no one else had been able to do. The medical people, her friends and family, they couldn't achieve it. But God has done it in her life because he's the only one who can perform these signs. And do you know what? It's a sign because it's when I now talk to people who know her, I was talking to a lady at work. I was just beginning to try and witness to her a bit. And she said, this lady goes to your church. We can't believe what's happened in her life. And do you know what happened recently? Her father, who was so amazed at what God has done, gave his life to Christ and was baptized in the sea recently. Wonderful, miraculous power. It's a sign. God wants to do this because he wants to point to his son. He wants to glorify his son. So he wants to perform miracles and healings in our lives so that he can point to his son and say, "This is my son who I love." But also, he wants to do it because he loves us. It's a comfort. Jesus was compassionate. It says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed the sick. He has compassion. Jesus is a compassionate God. He loves to heal. And it equips us for service. I had a funny incident when we were on holiday. We're just back from holiday. And I really hurt my foot. We went for a walk. And in the evening, I said to Carol, "I'm in agony. I took painkillers and had my foot lifted. I had my foot lifted up on the sofa. I couldn't even walk on it. I was in so much pain. I just said to the Lord, Lord, you've got to heal this. If I go to Horsham and speak on healing and I'm limping around the front, it's going to be really embarrassing. And the next morning, I woke up completely healed. Completely healed. And I believe he will heal us to equip us for service, to equip us to be servants to the house of God. He wants to do it because he loves us, he's compassionate, and because he wants to help us fulfill our destiny in the church. It's an opportunity for him to be glorified. Can we just have the next picture? Oh, you can't really see that, can you? It's not a very good picture, but I wanted to show it because there's a young lady in our church called Grace, and she had a solidified cartilage in her jaw. So she could hardly open her jaw, just only a small amount. And they operated on her, and they did this thing where they blasted water through the jaw to try and clear the cartilage, but it had no effect, had no impact. And obviously this was relatively serious for her. And this picture is actually at our Encounter conference that we had recently. And God healed her at the conference. And her jaw was freed and that cartilage was completely removed and she was totally restored. And this is her testifying to that healing. But what you can't really see is there's another man, just can you just see on the side? And that's Dr. Richard Hogg, who is a consultant at the hospital. And he stood up with Grace to testify to the healing, to say, I looked at her x-rays, I saw the problem she had in her jaw, and I can say 100% that this is a miraculous healing. And they did that in front of 400 people or however many people we had in Encounter. And I believe God did that because it was an opportunity for him to be glorified. And there was an amen in the hall, just like there's an amen this morning when I share that story, because God was glorified and the people were filled with awe. God loves to give good gifts because it's the answer to Jesus' own prayer. Jesus prayed himself in John 17, verse 1, glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. Jesus himself prayed, would you glorify me, Lord, so that I can glorify you? And when we see the gifts of the Spirit working amongst us, it's glorifying God's Son. So let's expect more. Now let's believe for more. Are you believing for more? This is about faith and expectancy and the fact that God wants you personally to have more of him in your life. But you're going to need to give him more in order to receive more from him. Okay, secondly then, so the first reason is desire the gifts and believe that God desires them for you. Secondly, we're going to have to believe the Bible. The Bible is truth. Your word is truth, Jesus said. And here's a concept which I want us to understand when it comes to healing. The concept of kingdom now, but not yet. Sometimes we wonder why we don't have healings all the time, or not everyone is healed, or every miraculous situation doesn't come to pass. Well, actually, we're looking both backwards and forwards. Stick with me on this. Because the kingdom of God, Jesus said when he came, the kingdom of God came with him. But the kingdom of God is not a physical geographical place. It's the realm, it's the rule, it's the reign of God. So it's where God is reigning and ruling. And where we are today is we're getting a taste of the kingdom of God. Jesus taught that the kingdom will come in measure. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. So Jesus on the cross defeated sin. He defeated sickness. He is Lord over all sickness. He has won the war. The war is over. Jesus has defeated Satan, and he is Lord over sickness. Amen? But it says in Hebrews 6, verse 5, that we are those who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, Paul writes, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. You see, it's when we meet Jesus, and when Jesus returns to earth, that is when all sickness will end. There will no longer be a need for doctors. There will no longer be a need for medicine. Because when we're with Jesus, we will have a new body and all sickness will be gone. Amen? And that's us looking forward. Today, because we're in the world, but not of the world, we get tastes of that power. God in his grace is allowing us to feel the power of what it's going to be like ultimately. Does this make sense to you? You can see that God, out of his grace and his love and all the reasons I have said, wants to heal today, but we will not know the fullness of it until we are with him and there is no sickness. It's like, do you know the verse in Jeremiah 29:11, where God talks about he has plans to prosper us and hope and plans for the future, for our future? Well, the word future there in the Hebrew is a word aha, which basically means literally backing into the future. So we look back to the cross and say, thank you, Jesus. You're victorious. You've won the war. You have all power and all authority. It all belongs to you. And we work towards, we move towards the future when we will be reunited, or we will be united with Jesus in glory, and there will be no sickness. See that? It's the best way to see healing, I think, today, is to see that idea of thanking God for the cross, thanking Jesus for the cross, and believing that he wants to heal. And we will see healing, and we will see the miraculous, but we won't know the ultimate fullness of it until we come into our full destiny with Christ. Amen? Good stuff. Well, the other aspect, and it was brilliant that it came up in the prophetic, is we are a supernatural church. We are a supernatural church. I love that prophecy. I think it was about how to God the supernatural is the natural. But we are a church that moves in the supernatural. And it's open to all believers. It's not restricted to special believers. Jesus said, and these signs will accompany those who believe. They will place their hands on the sick people and they will get well. And we read in James, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Sometimes we can think it's just the elders, but if we read on, it says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So there may be some in the church who have a special anointing, who more often than not, when they pray for people to be healed, people are healed. That's a special gift. That's a gift from the Spirit. But it's not exclusive. It's open to all believers. All believers can pray for the sick. So we have so many avenues to pray for the sick. We can call the elders. We can see those with special anointing who have the gift of healing. And when they pray, they move in that special charis, that special grace. And we can also do it all ourselves. And we can have the ability to lay hands on people and pray and ask and petition God for healing. And he does heal. A church that moves in expectancy. We want to be a people moving collectively, expectant that God's going to move. Can I have my next example? Yeah. This is my mate Warren. Warren has got tattoos from head to toe. He's got piercings. Has he got piercings? He's got piercings, yeah. I think he's got a gap in his teeth. He looks pretty scary, to be honest. Warren was saved out of paramilitaries in Northern Ireland. Miraculous salvation, which I don't have time to share. But I wanted to just tell you a little bit about his story so that you can build faith. Because Warren and Claire were thinking, they decided they just were in such a desperate place. They were calling out for God, but financially, and they were living, or they are living with her mother at the moment, and the whole picture looked black. And so they were thinking of going to Northern Ireland to leave where we are, where they're so fruitful. And they just came to us in total despair. And we prayed with them and others prayed with them. And we just felt like God was testing them a little bit. And we said to them, will you put your faith in God? Because we believe you shouldn't be leaving the island because you've got so much to bring. And they helped by getting their stewardship in place. So if you want to know the blessing of God, get your stewardship in place. And then one of the things that was burdening them was they thought they had an outstanding tax bill to pay. It was like a black cloud over them, just really weighing down on them. And so we said, well, first thing, go to the tax office and find out how big this tax bill really is. And he phoned me and he said, I've been to the tax office. And I said, well, how big is it? And he said, they said, what tax bill? What tax bill? It was wiped out somehow. There was no tax bill. And they also said to us, you know, he said, I'm the tiler. My money is, it comes in and out. I don't know how much I'm going to get. I want a job. I really want a paid job. Out of the blue, someone phoned him up and said, oh, you know, we want you to come and work for us. We need you to come and work for us. And so he went to see them and he said, well, how much am I going to be paid? And the guy said to him, well, how much do you want? Then in this whole time, Claire found out she was pregnant. They're now having a baby, their first baby, and they've waited so long for that, which is great. And then the company that he works for phoned up and said, do you want a house? So God, when we trust him, when we put our destiny in his hands, he's faithful. And he can unlock the miraculous that no one else can do. So just as I finish now, the last thing. So first of all, we need to really desire these things and believe that God desires them for us. We need to choose to believe our God. Secondly, we need to believe the Bible. And thirdly, we need to be close to Jesus. Someone once said, we need to smell like Jesus. I love the fact that, you know, Jesus' name, Wonderful. You know the passage in Isaiah where it says, unto us a son has been given, Wonderful. In the Hebrew, that word is Pella, and it literally means outside of human expectations, miracle. Jesus' name actually means miracle. Peter and John knew this. Peter jumped out the boat when he saw Jesus, didn't he, to run to him. At the Passover meal, when John rested his head on Jesus, it wasn't out of protocol or Jewish law. It was just out of love. He felt he could. He felt he wanted to. He felt he wanted to be close to his Savior. And I love the fact that the religious rulers were astonished at Peter and John. They realized they were ordinary men, and they took note that they had been with Jesus. Is that where we are this morning? Are we with Jesus? Do we smell like Jesus? We're ordinary men. There's no limit on the Holy Spirit. I love it in John 3:34. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. Will you get close to his word? Will you put your hands in his hand and trust him? Maybe we could just have my next. Keep going. Next picture. This is Julia, baby Julia. She had a scan of her brain, and in South Africa where she lived, and they found atrophy. Do you know what atrophy is? It's like a swelling of the brain. That it was so bad that the conference of radiologists used her x-ray to demonstrate infant atrophy. This was in South Africa. And then they moved to the Isle of Man, and they sent the results, and they sent Julia to Liverpool for a check. Now, her mum, Karen, and I've got her email here, so that I am talking to you facts here. Her mum, Karen, the day before the results was due, she decided to reach out a handful of faith, like the beggar, to reach up to God, and she came forward for prayer with little baby Julia. And some of us prayed, and Karen went. And the next day, she sent a message saying, on the Tuesday, we received a letter in the post with the results stating that there was no atrophy whatsoever. Miracle, eh? Miracle. Just a handful of faith. And we're going to pray in a moment. And I'm going to ask you, are you willing to lift up a handful of faith? Because Peter reached down a handful of faith to the beggar and said, I haven't got anything for you, but what I have is the name of Jesus. I'm going to give it to you. But the beggar had to reach up, didn't he? He had to put his hand into Peter's hand to be pulled up. So there was a lovely marriage of faith here, where it's Peter reaching down with faith, saying, I believe the name of Jesus will heal you. And the beggar reaching up saying, well, I believe the name of Jesus can heal me. And they held on together. And that's where the power of the Spirit flowed. Lastly then, can I have the next picture? Perhaps someone play the keyboard or? This is Paulo. Paulo is a Portuguese man. Paulo was addicted to gambling. He was on 4 antidepressants a day and taking 2 sleeping tablets every day. He was sleeping 10 hours and was working in a casino. One day, someone gave him a seed card on the streets. When we were out on the streets, one of the seed cards. He battled with that. 18 months later, on Good Friday, he came to the church. He gave his life to Christ. 2 days later, he was baptized in the sea on Easter Sunday. I met him recently, and he said, I'm not taking any tablets. I'm not taking any tablets. And I'm sleeping 3 hours, and I've got more energy than when I slept for 10 hours. He gave up his job at the casino because he didn't want to be connected to that. Within a week, he had 3 job offers. These are real people. You know, I'm not making these up. That's why I wanted to show you the photos. These are real stories. These are real testimonies. And I believe there's Paulo's stories here today, waiting to happen. Perhaps the Jesus of some churches and denominations, your friends and family, perhaps the Jesus of those places doesn't work miracles today. But the unchanging Jesus of Scripture does. A Savior who not only saves us, but a great physician who really can heal. And a God of glory who reveals his magnificence. And yes, a God of signs and wonders. If we will earnestly seek with a handful of faith. As I say, sometimes we don't understand why things don't happen. But we're going to glorify God anyway. Give thanks in all circumstances, because ultimately we're going to believe Romans 8:28, aren't we? Romans 8:28 says that our God works together for good in all things for those called according to Christ's purposes. So that's our destiny, is God's going to work for good anyway. He's a good God. But while we're tasting of the powers, we're going to believe that this is the God of Scripture. This is the Jesus that we're close to. And he does work miracles. He does create Paulos. He does create Julias. He does create Warrens. And he wants to do it here. And he wants to do it here today. I believe that. I really do believe that. So perhaps we can stand. I'm going to ask that everyone close your eyes, bow your head. Thank you, God, that you love us. The first thing I need to say is the biggest miracle of all is the fact that we were dead. Paul writes in Ephesians, because of his great love with which he would love us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, we were made alive together in Christ. The biggest miracle of all is the fact that we're raised from the dead when we give our life to Christ. We're taken out of the realm of flesh and into the realm of the spirit, where these things are possible. So this morning, I do want to check, I want to ask, if you have not given your life to Christ and you are dead in your sin, eternally separated from the powers of Christ, today's the day where you can come into an eternal relationship with him and you can know the miracle of being raised from the dead. Maybe you've slipped back and you know that you haven't been close to God and your sluice gates have been down and you've been existing on a cheese and crackers diet. Well, is today the day where the miracle of the fullness of God comes back into your life and you recommit to him? Say, no, from today I'm going to turn away from that life of the flesh and into that life of the spirit. So I'm just going to ask now, if you are responding to that, can you raise a hand, please, so I can see if you today are reconnecting with God or giving your life to him for the first time? Reach out a handful of faith. That's why I'm just saying, can we lift our hand and we'll just pray together now and bring that power into your life. Don't hold back. Do it now. No one's looking. Let's keep our eyes closed and our heads bowed. Thank you. I've seen that. Thank you very much. Is anyone else reconnecting today or giving their life to Christ? Let's do it quickly because we're going to pray for healing in a minute. Okay, let's just pray together quickly for those that are responding. Lord Jesus, can you repeat after me? Lord Jesus, thank you that today you are offering salvation. I choose now to confess you as Lord and believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead, a miracle bringing salvation into my life. And I turn from my sin. I receive your forgiveness. And from this day forth, I choose to walk with you. Amen. Okay, now God is ready to pour out his gifts this morning. So quickly, I would like to ask those of you who would like to receive the gift of praying for people who are sick or praying for people who are in difficult circumstances to see miraculous powers break out. Remember what I said, there's no sweetie tin here today. God is waiting to freely pour out his spirit, and he wants to do it for the common good. That's what Paul writes. He actually wants to do it for us all to benefit together. So he wants willing hands and hearts that will reach out and pray for people. If you want to be released in the gifts of the spirit, then why don't you come and stand here right now? Thank you, Jesus. Come and be bold. Remember that Peter and John were ordinary men. That was what the rulers and the authorities saw. They saw that these were ordinary men and women that had been with Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Well, you are going to be a healing church, aren't you? You're going to be a miraculous church. Let's lay hands on each other, can we? And appropriately find someone to lay hands on each other. Carol, why don't you just come and help me here? As we're going to pray for a release of this gift. And I really believe this morning that God is going to come in power on you. So do not be surprised if you feel a surge of power. Expect it. Be expectant of it. Sometimes we feel a heat come on us, don't we, when the Holy Spirit comes. And we saw when the Holy Spirit came in Pentecost in the upper room, there were tongues of fire and the building was shaken. Now, I'd love it if this school was shaken right now, but let's not limit what God will do. So I'm going to pray for us. So reach up with that handful of faith now and let's pray for release of the gifts of the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God, that you love to give good gifts. Thank you, Lord God, that you give good gifts, even more than earthly fathers give. How much more do you want to give the gifts of the Holy Spirit? I pray now that those of us reaching out, Lord God, you would pour your Spirit on us, Lord God. Release the gifts of healing. Release miraculous powers, Lord God. I pray that these people would know your power. And Lord God, you would flow like the river. I pray rivers of living water would pour out of them and onto others for the building of the church. Lord God, I pray this church would never be the same. Oh, right now, Lord God, Spirit of the living God, fill us in power. Fill, be filled, be filled, be filled with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Reach up in faith, guys. Believe in faith. Accept it in faith. These signs will accompany those who believe. That's what Jesus said. Lord, we release gifts. We release the gifts of the Spirit. Lord God, I pray those who don't pray in tongues would start to pray in tongues right now. Right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray healing would begin to flow in this place. Those who need a touch of your Spirit, where only you can work. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, well, I believe something's been released now. So we're now going to ask you guys that have just received something from God, you stay at the front. Because now you've reached up a hand full of faith. It's now the time to reach down with a handful of faith for those who are sick. We believe God wants to heal today, don't we? We believe he's a healing God. He's a miraculous God. We're not going to accept the Jesus of no miracles today. Sometimes we don't see it, but we're going to give thanks anyway. But sometimes we do see it. Do you know in our church, when we prayed for no one to be healed, guess how many people got healed? No one. When we prayed for people to be healed, some people did get healed. That's reaching up a handful of faith. So if you this morning need healing, can you raise your hand now? Can you raise your hand? If you have sickness, right, those folks, you come to the front, please, if you need prayer for healing. Let's make a little bit of space for them, those that need a healing touch this morning. Let's let this big guy come through here. So these folks need a healing touch, right? You folks have just received the gift of healing. You've just received something in the Spirit. As I was preaching, you know, this is no man of God syndrome. This is open to all believers. All believers can lay hands on the sick. Jesus laid hands on people. That was his primary means of releasing miracles. That was the way that Jesus most commonly laid hands on people. to bring healing. So why don't you find perhaps George and Steve and Pete, the elders, can help make sure that we have people praying appropriately. Let's lay hands, ladies on ladies, men on men. Quite happy for men to pray for ladies, but with another lady laying on hands. Let's gather around these folks. If you're waiting to be prayed with, raise your hand so that people can see. And what I would encourage you to do is, Jesus asked people, what is it I can do for you? So ask specifically what we're praying for. More than one people, let's gather around. Let's those, you know, we prayed for loads of people to release. So there's a lady here that, if someone could pray for her, that would be great. And you begin to pray. And if you're being prayed for, meet those that are praying for you with a handful of faith. Expect God to move now. Expect God to move now. And let's just begin to release the Spirit, Lord God.